It's the Scotty Myers Show.
Hello there. Welcome to this week's edition of the show. I'm your host, Scotty Myers, back from a little vacation. Took some time, went back down to Disney World. Talk about that in a second. We're also going to be covering Sonic 2 this week. Moon Knight has debuted. Of course, we have to talk about that. Obi-Wan's delayed, and lots of weird things going on between Warner Brothers and DC and Ezra Miller. We will get into all of that. But if you are not following us on our social media channels yet, well, I would recommend you do that. It's not required, but hey, it's nice. The Scotty Myers Show on Facebook and Instagram, at Scotty Myers on Twitter, is where you can find us on social media. So the Disney trip was fantastic. To put it any other way would be short. There's a lot of videos and posts online right now about Disney World going, oh, the magic is gone and they're nickel and diming you and blah, blah, blah. And I don't want to spend a ton of time talking about that here, but I don't feel that that is the case, to be totally honest. There have been some changes. There are a few more things that cost more money, but I don't feel like it's an excessive amount. And I never felt like I was being, you know, taken for every penny that I could give them on this trip. So I don't agree with those statements when I see them online. And they pop up a lot. It seems to almost be a trend online now to have a bit of a Disney hate on. And I don't know. To me, it's still magical. I had a fantastic time. And the new rides that they had since the last time I was there, like the Remy's Ratatouille Adventure and Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railroad, those are two great rides. Remy is super cute. Definitely more of a family ride. As a guy that likes a bit more thrill rides, I rode it once on my trip. Was like, okay, I'm good. I don't need to ride again. I'll ride it the next time I go down. It wasn't a repeat like, Millennium Falcon or Rise of the Resistance or Tower of Terror or anything like that. But still super cute. And the Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railroad is a blast. Like, that one is just, I don't know, something about it. Just really, really fun, fun ride. So if you're headed down soon, you may want to check out some of those rides. Well, actually, there's another ride coming that you may want to check out, but we're going to talk about that when we get into the Marvel news. Sonic 2 has opened. I have not had a chance to go see it yet, but I did love the first one. And Sonic the Hedgehog 2 is having the best opening weekend right now ever for a movie based on a video game. The movie looks like it's going to take in about $71 million, and that is better than Fast 9's opening last year, and it definitely blows out of the water the $58 million that the first Sonic movie took in 2020. So great news for Sonic the Hedgehog. It's getting mixed reviews. It's fresh, but not certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, but I don't know. I'm down. It also has Knuckles in it, which is one of my favorite Sonic characters, so I'm excited to see Knuckles on the big screen. And sticking before we get into the Marvel news and Star Wars and DC and all that kind of stuff, some other things that are popping. It looks like HBO Max is developing a sort of It prequel series. Right now, I believe it's tentatively called Derry for the city, or the town, I guess, that It takes place in. And initially, it sounds like, oh man, they're just milking this for all it's worth. However, if you have actually read Stephen King's It book, there are entire segments of the book, because it's a huge book. Like, it's bigger than most bricks. And but there are entire segments that talk about the history of Derry and when the It creature would spring up and the tragedies that happened in the town in the past. And I think doing a show based on that is fantastic. Like, there's a lot of stories to mine there that are already written. So it's not like you're relying on people to, you know, create a new backstory or fill in gaps that were never meant to be filled in. This is stuff that King himself has already written. So I think it's a great idea, especially if you can link it to the current film. So if you can get Skarsgård back to play Pennywise and that, I think it makes even more sense. But I like this idea for HBO Max. Why not? You know, people love Stephen King. They love It. And I think adding to the legacy and the lore of the character of Pennywise is a great idea. And it was something that worked very well in the books. Like, honestly, some of the flashback stories were some of my favorite parts of the novel. So to see those come to life would be really, really cool. And in some video game news, we got an announcement for Kingdom Hearts 4, which it looks beautiful. I watched kind of the announced trailer. Sora wakes up in a Japanese town. There's a giant creature, and then it kind of goes into a battle sequence. But it looks absolutely beautiful. Of course, Kingdom Hearts, the series that kind of mixes Final Fantasy and Disney and puts them together. So no real hint on what kind of worlds you would explore in this fourth iteration in the Kingdom Hearts series, but looking forward to the game nonetheless. The preview, like I said, looked really cool. I will get that up on our social so you can check it out. Let's start with Marvel, shall we? Because they probably had the biggest news over the last couple weeks, and that was, of course, Moon Knight debuting. And I've watched both episodes that have been out so far, and I'm very impressed. My thoughts after the first episode was this could be the best thing Marvel has done so far. And that is saying a lot. They've had a lot of home runs, but I really loved the first episode. My one criticism of the first episode, and actually someone else that kind of echoed it to me, was if you had no kind of background for the character, which a lot of people don't because Moon Knight is a deep cut character, the first one kind of left you very confused. And I had a coworker say that to me. They were like, oh, I watched the first one. It was all right, but I really felt like I didn't know what the hell was going on. And so, yeah, I definitely came at it, having a bit more of the Moon Knight backstory. Episode 2, I was not as in love with the first episode. So I might have to walk back my initial thought of this could be the best thing Marvel has ever done. And my main reason for that is, and I don't think this is spoilers because they've released posters of this costume and stuff like that, but Moon Knight has a couple of different looks, right? There's the kind of caped and hooded look, and then there's Mr. Knight, which is more of like a business suit, still has the mask, but more of a business suit attire. And my memory of Mr. Knight in the comic books was more of a detective style character, more suave, that type of thing. They turned, at least in the second episode, they turned Mr. Knight into a joke. And one of my overarching pet peeves about the Marvel Cinematic Universe is when they take really cool heroes and turn them into jokes. Thor is my exhibit A of this pet peeve of mine. But the fact that they did it with Mr. Knight, I was like, oh man, come on. Like, this show should not be forcing shoehorning in jokes anywhere. It just shouldn't be happening. That's not what Moon Knight is about. And so that let me down a little bit in the second episode. Now, overall, I thought it filled in the story a bit more. So hopefully people that got through the first episode and felt kind of lost don't feel quite as lost after episode 2. I will say it does run the risk if by episode like 3, maybe 4, they haven't made people feel 100% filled in on the character, some people may bail. That would be a worry I would have, but I am enjoying the show. I think it's fantastically done. Just a couple of little nitpicks. Oscar Isaac's British accent still is pretty rough to listen to too. So that's a little bit of a pain in the butt, but I do like it. I am on board for Moon Knight. I love the character. So really hoping that it continues going on. I hope it gets back to episode 1 levels, but if it stays where it's at, it's still going to be a success in my mind. Spider-Man No Way Home just picked up an award. It won Favorite Movie at the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards. Not much of a shock there, to be totally honest. Kids love that movie. What I find hilarious about that is kids that didn't see Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man think it's cool that he's in it. They have no frame of reference. Like, they really don't get it. But regardless, it was not a shock to see that No Way Home won that award. Black Panther 2, Wakanda Forever, is gearing up to get into production, and a rumor has come out. I think we've heard this rumor before, but it has resurfaced again, pardon the pun, about who the villain will be, and the villain could be Namor. And that'd be a great way to bring him in to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Of course, he's kind of been both hero and villain over the course of his Marvel existence. I kind of still would hope that they would have went maybe Doctor Strange, because my only beef, I guess, when I think about it on paper, is we've seen a lot over the years of Marvel heroes fighting Marvel heroes. And I know Namor kind of goes back and forth, but eventually I would say he's going to end up on the hero side. So again, we would have an entire film of a hero fighting a hero. And it's just kind of like, guys, we've seen this before. Also, I'm just getting incredibly impatient for Doctor Doom. So maybe that's just me going like, just put Doctor Doom in there. I don't care. But it should be interesting to see Namor as the baddie in Black Panther 2. When I was briefly talking about my Disney trip a bit earlier, I mentioned new rides, and I said there's another one coming that you may want to plan your trip for, and that is Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind. We actually have an opening date for it, officially. Cosmic Rewind will open on May 27th of 2022, so that's this year in really just over a month. We're going to get the new Guardians ride at Epcot. When I was there, I walked by. Things looked mostly done. The ship out front looked fantastic. The ride itself looks like it's going to be a blast. Basically, you get sent back to the beginning of time, like the Big Bang, and have to fix time going forward. It looks like it's going to be a really, really fun ride. If you're thinking of going to Disney for the opening of the ride, I have read that all annual pass holder availability has been booked for kind of the 27th and the days around it. That's because of that park reservation thing that you have to do now, where you basically book your first park and then you can park hop. But still, when I look at the calendar for regular theme park tickets, right now it is green, which means there's availability in all four parks. So you could get an Epcot reservation as I record this on April 10th for Epcot. Interestingly, Epcot is not available on May 23rd. And I don't know if word has gotten out. I haven't heard anything about an event or anything like that on the 23rd, but that is interesting that is the only park blocked out on that day right now. So we shall see what is happening at Disney as this gets closer and closer to the launch of Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind. I do know there are going to be some annual pass previews. So if you're an annual pass holder, you may get an email saying, hey, come check it out. They're going to do some like cast previews, so employee previews, family and friends type thing. So if you have a family or friend that works at Disney, maybe start bugging them now. And I think they're doing some media ones as well. Hopefully I get an invite to one of those, because I do want to ride this ride. It looks really cool. Doctor Strange 2 is not that far away, and they're already projecting its box office. And right now, it looks like it's projected for a pretty massive opening. Right now, early projections are $205 million on its opening weekend for Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Multiverse has been a massive win so far for Marvel. I think my only... I'm very excited to see Multiverse of Madness. I think my only nitpick with some of the latest posters that have come out for Doctor Strange 2 have been that Wanda is front and center. Like, Scarlet Witch is the biggest character on the poster. And I'm just, is this a Doctor Strange movie or is it a Scarlet Witch movie? You know, like, if it's Doctor Strange, he should be the biggest character on the poster. I'm not saying she shouldn't be on there, but it is Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. I know she's going to factor in and have a big part, but it just seems like a little bit of, it's smart marketing, but it also seems a little bait and switchy, because let's just say she's not in it that much, but she's so prominently featured on the poster. It's a little off-putting. But at the same time, she's coming off a very successful show, so I can get why, marketing-wise, you would want to put her kind of front and center. But we'll see how that plays out. Right now, it looks like it's going to be a massive, massive hit, which we knew already, right? Like, Marvel hasn't hit the point yet where the movies are in question as to how they're going to do opening weekend. So that is a positive, though, that it looks like it's going to make so much money. Moving on to Star Wars. Of course, Star Wars Celebration is coming up in Anaheim, and they have announced a couple panels. One is on The Mandalorian with Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni. It'll be interesting to see how much they tell us about what's coming for The Mandalorian. Maybe I know they're filming. Maybe we'll get like a little teaser. I wouldn't say a full-on trailer, but maybe a little teaser. And they also have another panel that I think is going to be super, super interesting. And the whole panel is just basically on the future of the franchise, which sounds really vague. But that's actually, it's an entire panel focused on the future of Star Wars. And that panel is going to take place on Thursday, May 26th. It's going to talk about the current crop of stuff that we know, like Obi-Wan, Andor, The Mandalorian, and rumors are that we're going to get some announcements on new stuff that we don't even know. You know, like maybe some more info on Rogue Squadron, maybe some other show announcements. Should be a panel to watch. And again, that panel is the first day of Celebration, Thursday, May 26th. So really, really cool there. If you are a fan of Fortnite and you've always wanted to be Darth Vader, your dreams are about to come true. Rumors are that the Dark Lord of the Sith is headed to Fortnite. No date on when that skin will be available. You know, obviously, you know what his axe will look like. It'll be his lightsaber, but I'm curious what they'll make his glider and things like that. So if you love Fortnite and you love Darth Vader, get ready to shell out some bucks for a Vader skin. And the biggest news in Star Wars in the last little bit, of course, we've been counting down to Obi-Wan after they dropped that amazing trailer on us. Now we have to wait a little bit longer. Thankfully, not much, but they moved Obi-Wan for some reason off the May 25th date and pushed it back 2 days to May 27th. Not really sure what the motivation was to do this. It's not like you can fix anything in 2 days. Whatever shot at that point is shot and done. But regardless, they have moved it back 2 days. But to kind of make up for it, they're going to give us two episodes on the 27th. So that gives us two episodes of Obi-Wan to watch right away. But that also means that the series will get over quicker and wrap up quicker, which is a bummer. Because I have a feeling I'm going to absolutely love every minute of Obi-Wan. Switching over to DC, it's been almost 2 years since the end of season 2 for the animated Harley Quinn show. And we knew they were working on season 3. One of the showrunners has teased when we're going to get season 3 for Harley Quinn. He tweeted out, "I can't really say anything. I know the release date. Let's just say it rhymes with summer." So it looks like season 3 will be coming sometime this summer, which would be fantastic. And of course, that will be on HBO Max, as is a new show that's in development, if it gets to filming. But it looks like they're going down the road of Aqualad as an origin story for the character, is in development at HBO Max. Charlize Theron is producing. Don't know if she'll have any involvement as far as acting goes, but Aqualad's kind of a cool character. He's gotten a kind of a recent kind of refresh, and the response has been very good. So a good time to maybe get Aqualad at least to the small screen, and then who knows, he could cross over and show up in Aquaman 3. Would make total sense. Of course, a lot of Will Smith projects have been shelved or at least put on pause after his incident, we shall say, at the Oscars. And a report came out from Warner Brothers that his Deadshot solo movie is still on the back burner. It was never canceled. And the report is that Warner Brothers is still kind of keen to make it if Will Smith wants to. But of course, now they need to wait and see what happens with Will Smith. I actually think this increases the chances that we get the Deadshot movie. And I know when you hear me say that, you're probably going like, how? Because right now it seems like nobody wants to put Will Smith in a movie. And I think that's part of the key, is his choices are going to be limited for the next little while until he kind of reestablishes himself and does the apology tour. His choices are going to be limited. And if Warner Brothers is like, hey, you know, in a year or so, they're like, you know, if you want to do the Deadshot movie, we'll do it now. Maybe they do it straight to HBO Max, which is probably something Will Smith never would have considered a month ago. But if he's trying to kind of get the career back on track, a superhero movie, maybe even straight to HBO Max, might not be a bad idea. I don't think Deadshot needs a huge budget. And that was probably also another stumbling block for the movie, was just Will Smith's salary was huge. It won't be going forward, especially for a little while until he, again, reestablishes himself. So I think all those stars aligning could lead to a Deadshot movie maybe sooner than we initially even thought. I would not be amazed within a year that movie is officially announced, whether it's theaters or HBO Max. I just have a feeling that it's the type of project that might help him reestablish himself, and Warner Brothers and HBO might be willing to do it. Speaking of HBO, Warner Brothers, of course, the big studio news this week was that the merger went through with Discovery. So some executives have been turfed already, and I'm sure more will come as this merger continues to go through. Not sure exactly where this leaves DC as we look at things going forward. Basically, Warner Brothers has two massive IPs right now. They've got the Harry Potter world, and then they've got DC. And it'll be interesting to see what Discovery wants to do with DC and those DC characters. I think there's an opportunity for DC to pop up. I joked about it a bit when the merger was first kind of announced, before it was official. But like, you could have King Shark pop up on Shark Week now. Like, it's all under the same umbrella. New company will be called, Warner Brothers Discovery or Discovery Warner Brothers, something like that. But you could have more of these crossovers and put DC characters in front of people that maybe typically don't see DC characters. I think in the long run, it could be beneficial if the Discovery end of it and you know, the people in charge see the possibilities of doing this. But we shall see how much they're invested in Warner Brothers and DC going forward. And the biggest story that came out of Warner Brothers this week was Ezra Miller. Now, there was the report that he, you know, had an altercation with a couple in Hawaii at a bar. You know, he was arrested. Not a good look, obviously, for Ezra Miller, especially since he's had some issues in the past. And there was a report that came out. It was in Rolling Stone magazine, so it's a very typically credible source, that said everybody at Warner Brothers got together and had an emergency Ezra Miller meeting, where they got together and basically said, what the fuck do we do? Because they are in Fantastic Beasts. They are the Flash. Flash is a big movie for the DCEU going forward. It's not a reboot, and it might be a soft reboot. It at least establishes a main continual world, and then it's going to have offshoots. It's definitely setting up a multiverse. And to have these issues with the actor apparently made the studio panic, and I could see that. I really could. And the report out of that meeting was that Warner Brothers was essentially just going to put a pause on any new Ezra Miller project. So the Fantastic Beasts movie that opens like next week, and then The Flash, obviously still going forward. It is too late to do anything with The Flash, and you can't scrap that movie. Way too important for DC. So to say that they were going to put anything starring Ezra on pause, not a huge thing, because the Fantastic Beasts movies are going to continue to go, but they're not even shooting the next one yet right now. No sequel to The Flash has been officially announced. I'm sure it's on tables as a proposed movie at Warner Brothers, but it's not been officially announced. And I don't know what else Ezra had signed on for Warner Brothers. So it may not be anything. And then a report came out like a day or two later that basically said the report of the emergency Ezra Miller meeting was all bullshit, and that that meeting never happened. So not sure where that kind of leaves Ezra Miller right now, or Warner Brothers, or DC. Obviously, Ezra Miller has some issues that need to be addressed. A lot of people online kind of talking about, you know, is this a mental health issue? Not knowing Ezra Miller personally, I don't know that any of us can speak to that. From an outsider point of view, the past behavior, some of the bizarre things they've done online, yeah, it may look like there is a mental health issue there that needs to be addressed. And if that is the case, then I would hope the people around them would give them that support. And whether that is friends, family, I don't care if it's their agent, someone needs to step in and be supportive and give them the help they need. It could even be the studio, in all honesty. And not to make it shallow, but after the Joss Whedon incident with Justice League and how Warner Brothers handled that, as a bit of a black eye on how they treated their talent and the people that worked for them. If they would like to correct that in the public eye, maybe helping Ezra Miller is a way to do that. And that is beneficial to not only Ezra, but the studio as well. And I know you could be looking at me and listening and going, that is super shallow. And it is. I totally get that. It's a calculated business move. But if that's what it takes for Ezra Miller to get some help, I'm okay with that. If it has to be on that shallow end, as long as they get the help that they need, again, assuming it is a mental health issue, which we 100% do not know. We're drawing conclusions based on the actions that we have seen, which sometimes is not fair. You know, sometimes things happen online, people do things, and it doesn't put them in the best light. So if that is the issue, hopefully someone steps in and helps Ezra Miller. Having said all that, I am still super excited to see their portrayal of Barry Allen and The Flash in the upcoming Flash movie. Barry Allen and Ezra Miller in the Justice League, even the Justice League version, but the Zack Snyder version, fantastic. I'm a fan of what they're doing with the character, so I do want to see them continue on and do more with it. So now we have to wait till 2023 to see The Flash, and maybe that also, that delay, which they said was for special effects, but maybe that delay gives Ezra Miller the time to work on whatever they have to work on, and then when the movie comes out, it's kind of like a full-on rebirth for Ezra Miller. Maybe I'm being a super optimist here, but that sounds like a little like utopia-like dream, maybe. That will do it for this week's edition of the show. Again, thank you so much for tuning us in. Don't forget to tell your friends, give us the like, give us a share. If you can drop a review, that helps as well, whether it's on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you're listening to us. And until we chat again, have a great week.